Father, we thank you right now for the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that resurrection power is reaching in to every place in every one of us in the name of Jesus. And the resurrection life of God is causing the things that need to line up with the life of God to come into that alignment this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, where there's soul issues, that resurrection power is reaching in and pulling those things out. We thank you, Father, where there needs to be healing in the body, that resurrection power is reaching in and pulling those things out in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that resurrection power in relationships. In relationships, Father, where there needs to be things in alignment, where things need to line up and be corrected, we thank you that it's working right now. And Father, we thank you for our brother Kenny FaceTiming us from the hospital right now. We declare we're all in agreement, this whole church, family, and body. We are all in agreement for that resurrection power touching you right where you are in that hospital room. His presence is there with you, raising you up out of that bed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And for those of you online, that resurrection power, whatever you need, is touching every part of you, your family, your relationships, your body, the things that only the Lord knows about, the things that only you and the Lord know about. We thank you, Father, for victory in the lives of the people. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Happy Resurrection Sunday. You may greet one another this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those of you joining us online this morning. It's a blessing and an honor to have you with us. We thank you for joining us. Thank you.
Okay.
Bless you. Bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome to Victory Live Family Church. Welcome to our first time guests. It's good to have you with us. And if you haven't filled out the visitor card, if you'll fill that out and then put it in the offering basket as it passes by as well. We thank you for joining us this morning. We thank you for having those of you online, for you being with us as well, even if it's your first time. Our website is vlfc.church. All of our past sermons are there, notes, video, audio messages. You can listen as you're driving down the road. You can watch at home while you're putting on your makeup, ladies. It's always a good, that's what I was doing this morning. I actually was listening to last year's resurrection service. And so praise God, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. We have these brochures this morning. It's called What About Easter? And we're going to go ahead and hand those out. Mom, they're right there. If you can start passing them down the row. And you can take them with you and read them, you know, when you have a moment to read these. Pastor Rodney put these together for us and he wrote it. And so it'll be a blessing to you as well. We're also on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and Instagram right now. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. On our Facebook, Pastor Rodney's daily devotional is on there, and he started that this year. It's a new devotional, and you can check that out every day, or you can go to our website. And again, that's vlfc.church. Sundays, doors open at 9, and we have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10, so come early. We have coffee fellowship. Also back there, Shannon brought fresh farm eggs. And so please feel free to take them. Mariana's holding them up over there. So what a blessing. Thank you for that. Those are the best eggs. So please help yourselves to those as well. Wednesdays, doors open at 6:30. And so I apologize. Service starts at 6:30. Doors open at 6. And Friday prayer is at our house from 9 to 10 this Friday. And as for volunteers, we have openings for greeters, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, as well as our worship team. And so speaking of our worship team, We have the next phase of our building project, and I'm almost done with announcements, but I want to let you know we are believing for $5,000 to come in by the end of May. And what this is for, another sign out there for our building. We have some signs that we put up, better lighting in this room. And so we're very thankful for this place, but we need the better lighting. And so that's going to go towards that. Also, a keyboard for our worship team. And we know some of you here can play the keyboard. And so we're looking forward to getting that in here as well. And then ultimately a property and building of our own. And in that building, we're going to have lots of room for growth, rooms for prayer group, connect groups, our children's ministry. Amen. It's growing with the children. And our nursery and our classrooms.
When we're hungry.
And we're hungry. That was my next one. Our fellowship hall. And so we're going to have, we're going to be able to have that as well. And so we're looking forward to that. We like to get together and enjoy meals together. Praise God. So thank you, Zayn. Praise the Lord. And so with that, we have $799 that have come in so far. And so that is $4,201 remaining. So praise God for that. And we call that in. So we just ask you to believe with us for that. Release your faith on that because we're continuing to grow. Don't you like the new chairs? Praise God. These are nice. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all who've sown into this. It's such a blessing to have the chairs. It's such a blessing to see the fruit of the seed that's sown in the harvest. And so we're believing continually for the harvest in your lives of the seeds that have been sown. And so speaking of seeds being sown, we ask that you name your seed, right? The Bible is clear. There's a law of seed time and harvest. It's garden season here coming up. When you plant your tomato seeds, right? You get what? Tomatoes. When you plant corn, what do you get? Corn. Okay, good job, class. So this morning, that is an A+. And I just want to say it's the same with our offering. It's the same as seed time and harvest. When you sow your offering seed, Father, I'm believing for this in my home. I'm believing for this in my marriage or in my children. You sow that seed and we thank you, Lord, that it's going to work. When we give into the kingdom, it's an eternal act. It's an eternal harvest. And so I just want you to realize that we're not just throwing money in a basket. It's not in our own finances. God is our source and he provides seed for the sower. And so this morning, I just want to give one scripture and that's John 3:16. And many of you know John 3:16. It's a very familiar verse, But John 3:16 says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17 says, "For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, or pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him." So God sowed his best seed to reap a harvest of family. And so we just thank you, Lord, for the harvest of family. Glory to God, Victory Life Family Church. And in that, as you sow this morning, we are by faith agreeing with you for your harvest this morning. And so we're thanking the Lord for that. And as you sow this morning, if it's for the building fund, please write building fund on the offering envelope. It's under your seat in the front or on the seat back in front of you. You can write a prayer request or a testimony on that as well online. If you're given online, the information's on your screen. And if you're given to the building fund, there's a drop down and there's general fund and then there's building fund with that. And so if you're given to the things that we mentioned earlier, that's building fund. Also, if you're giving by cash or credit card, please fill out the information on the envelope and sign it if it's by credit card. And if it's by a check, please make it payable to VLFC. That's a mouthful to say all of that, just so you know. The blessing is working in us. Let's say our offering confessions together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. You may receive the offering.
Hey, Brother Kenny, it's good to have you here this morning. Amen. Resurrection power is alive and active in your life, in your body today. Hallelujah to Jesus. And in the course of this service today, yes, we receive the power of God, the word of God going into your life, into your body. You are restored. You are healed. You are whole and you are free in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Ha ha. Say the washing, of the water, of the word is setting me free today. Amen. Glory to God. That's what the scripture says. The washing of the water of the word is purifying you. It's cleansing you. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen. Glory to God. We are free today in Christ Jesus. And I am so excited. This is one of my favorite days of the year. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. We shared last year on the seven feast days of the Lord. You know, in scripture, we'll find that there are seven feast days, and we did a whole series on that last year. But feast number three is first fruits, which is today, Resurrection Day. Amen. Glory to God. So I know we handed out those pamphlets earlier. What about Easter? You know, and there's a lot more to that story. We actually shared that during that service last year. On, again, you can go back and look it up if you would like. It's on search first fruits and you will find that feast day, and we go through it in more depth. But today we're going to be looking at from the cross to the throne. Amen. So this is Holy Week. We started last Sunday on Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, what that typified in Christ's fulfillment. We also looked at on Wednesday night the Passion. And we looked at the seven places that Jesus shed his blood for us and the significance of each one of those. And so I would also encourage you, Mel Gibson, Jim Caviezel, back in, I believe it was around 93, made the movie The Passion of the Christ. It is not for the faint-hearted necessarily, but it's very biblically accurate. And even then, from what I have studied, even as bloody as it might be, it actually pales in comparison to actually what happened. It shows a lot, but it is what happened was actually far worse. Far worse. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Say he did it for me. Yes, he did. Glory to God. So we're thankful for that. But let's open today in a word of prayer. So Father God, we thank you for this resurrection day. And because he lives, we're here today and we live also in Christ. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. So Father, in this service today, Lord, I'm asking you for utterance, Lord, that you are speaking through me. And Lord, we receive eyes that see and ears that hear your voice, the voice of truth. And we receive that we are seeing something brand new from the word of God today. And that when we are getting free, we're coming up higher. We are getting delivered and we receive salvation in this message today. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And if you have your Bible with you, hard copy, soft copy, whatever you have, let's hold it up big together. This is my Bible, the living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we're looking at this subject today, and again, most believers rarely talk about it, and oftentimes are unaware of what happened after the cross. You know, Christianity, we have the sign of the cross, which really we've talked about this in times past. The true sign of Christianity really is not so much the cross, it's the empty tomb. Because if all of Jesus did was die on the cross and never was resurrected, then we would not be here today. Amen. But the real sign of Christianity is that he was rose on the third day and is ascended at the Father's right hand. And you and I in Christ are right there with him today. Amen. Because he lives, we live. Glory to God. So again, we're going to see here that yes, at the cross, but here also this 3 days and nights, his burial, that what happened from the cross to the throne is where the victory was fully won. Amen. So again, Jesus is still not on the cross. A lot of times we see crosses depicted and we see Jesus hanging on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's seated at the Father's right hand. Amen. So if you want even a better picture of the empty tomb, just keep on going till you see him seated at the Father's right hand and then see yourself sitting right there with him. Amen. Glory to God. So again, he's not in the tomb. He is somewhere at the Father's right hand, but he came out of that tomb in complete victory, authority, and triumph, and with that, you and I. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we're going to be looking at this today, but first I want to back up just a little bit and look at the plan of redemption. And we find this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and then we're going to look at 17 and through 19. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. So again, when Adam died, he was the first. He was the prototype. So when he sinned, every man sinned in him. So in particular, after he has fallen, he's from the garden, he's born again from life to death, every seed continues to produce after its own kind. So again, in Adam, all men die. Amen. But there is, the scripture says, there is the second Adam, Christ Jesus. And here in verse, thank you, Lord. Back at verse 17, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. God is greater, his grace is greater, and he's given us a gift. And it's righteousness, which is right standing with him in Christ. He says, for all who receive it will live in triumph. Are you living in triumph today? Amen. There is triumph available to you in Christ. Amen. So we will live in triumph over sin and death. Sin and death. So I'm not just triumphant over sin. I'm triumphant over death. So again, we're talking about the spiritual man and I'm talking about the natural man. Amen. The spiritual man is your eternal man, but I'm talking about right now, your natural man is free from the spirit of death. He's free from the spirit of death. He's free from all of the effects of the curse. Amen. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because another person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Amen. If you're in Christ, say, that's me. Yes, it is. So again, Adam's sin opened the door to death. His one act of sin opened the door to death for every man. But Jesus' obedience opened the door to righteousness for every man who will believe and have faith in him. Something to see here is that our redemption began with the Father's love. You know, we when we fell in Adam, we were without hope in and of ourselves. That's why Jesus, that's why God prophesied in John 3:15, Satan, there's one, there's a seed, capital S, who's coming, who's going to crush your head. Amen. Now, if you'll notice through Scripture, over and over and over, every time a prophet or someone popped up, Satan went after them hard. Satan went after them hard. That's why you see so many of the prophets in the Old Testament were slaughtered. Why were they slaughtered? And why, the same reason he was after Jesus. He wants to stop this seed from coming to crush his head. If I can get to him ahead of time, if I can get him to twist like I got Adam to twist, if I however it comes, either he's going to bow the knee to me or I'm going to take him out one way or the other. So every time someone cropped up, it looked like they had some anointing on them. Oh, he went after them. You know, you can look at Samson and Delilah, every single one of them. Amen. The Satan came after him hard. He either got them to turn or he was able to kill them, because again, he's looking to, who's that one, who's that one? He don't know. He just thinks, if I can get him, this will stop it and I can defeat God. Right? If only. Thank you, Lord. So again, redemption begins with the Father's love. We see a picture of this in John 3:16-17. Says, for God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Say only believe. For God did not, say did not, he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Something to note here, sin was already judged. Sin has already been judged, and sin, ultimately, when you get down to it, is complete separation from God. Sin separates from the presence of God. That's what happened in the garden. Sin and a holy God cannot coexist. Sin has to go. So again, we see this. Jesus mentioned this over in Revelation chapter 12. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So when iniquity, when sin was found in Lucifer, boom, like a bolt of lightning, he's cast out from the presence of God. There's not some prolonged war at the throne of God. There's not some power struggle that took place. No, sin was found in him, and like lightning, he's gone. The power of God just cast him out in a moment of time. Amen. So again, sin cannot exist in the presence of God, and yet the Scripture says you and I are seated at the Father's right hand. That is our eternal position in Christ. I've been made the righteousness of God. Yes, you've got trouble in your flesh, no doubt. Amen. And we all need to change. But this does not change the fact I'm made the righteousness of God, that I am a son and daughter of the Most High. Amen. Now, there is an abundance of grace to help you to get free from where you're at today. Amen. And he does it. How? By the washing of the water of the word. Stick to the process. Stick to that washing. Amen. And we will come up. We will become clean in our flesh. Amen. But we're in this process. We looked at this in times past, but man is a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, and at present you live in a physical body. At the new birth, your spirit man, the real you, was eternally made the righteousness of God. Your soul is in the process of what the Scriptures calls sanctification. Your soul is in that process, and we will continue in that process until we meet Jesus in the air. Amen. So again, your flesh will never fully arrive and be made perfect, but that's no excuse to stay as you are. Amen. That's why he says, come. Amen. Come to the washing of the water of the word. That's why he says, come in Hebrews 10:26 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching. He says also, iron sharpens iron. Amen. So there's all these things that he has ordained, these processes. He's given us his word. He's given us ministries. He's given us churches, amen, to help help us grow and to develop to become actual disciples of God so that we can discover our plan and our purpose and go out and help others. Say, man, lead them to Christ and help them discover their plan and their purpose, thereby perpetuating the gospel. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, the Father gave his Son to restore the family that Adam lost. Also noting here, again, we going back over these last couple of messages, we're just kind of surmising here, but Jesus lays down his life intentionally. Amen. Again, in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. And he submits perfectly to it as the final Passover lamb the entire way. Amen. Jesus, again, he fulfills every step of the Passover lamb. He enters the temple on the same day that the Passover lambs would have entered into the temple. During this time, over the next few days, he's examined, chosen, slain, and offered as that perfect Passover lamb. Jesus, he restores what was lost in the plan of redemption. The scripture says in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy. That word destroy really means to unravel the works of the devil. And again, Jesus unraveled sin and all of its effects all the way back to the garden as though sin never happened. There's no sin in Christ. Amen. He unraveled it. He unraveled sin, all of the effects of sin, which is the curse, sickness, disease, poverty, and lack, and mental, and all of that got rolled back as though it never happened. In Christ, you are free. In Christ, you are redeemed from all of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Now hear this. He endured the cross, amen, for the joy set before him. Say it was me. Amen. So Jesus is on the cross, and the scripture says that he's looking at the cross, he's on the cross, and he's counting it joy. The only way he could possibly do that is he understood his role. He understood his assignment, and he said, I'm going to go through all this with a smile on my face because I see you, I see you, I see you, and this is why I'm doing it. Because this is what you deserve. Amen. This is the price that you could not pay. Amen. But this is the price that I am able to pay. And the scripture tells us over in Hebrews 10, this is Jesus speaking. He says, a body you have prepared for me. A body you have prepared for me. He came and bore all of this. By right, you and I deserve to go through all of these stations of the cross. By right, you and I deserve to go to hell for all of eternity in the lake of fire. By right. But Jesus, at every step, he takes our place. Every step. So again, redemption is not about God patching up a broken humanity. Jesus didn't come just so, you know, maybe I can come help you out a little bit. You know, he didn't come to tell you to try harder and do better and all of that. No, no, no. He says, I'm coming to make this exchange with you, my life for yours. I'm going to take your sin. You're going to take my righteousness if you'll have faith in it. Amen. This is love, that he's laid down his life for his friends. Redemption is God restoring us to our original place. Amen. Back to the garden as sons and daughters, and today seated in Christ. Now, what we need to see here is that Jesus went to hell. Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 through 10 tells us, your lamb shall be without blemish. So again, this is the institution of the Passover in Egypt. This was the 10th plague. Again, the firstborn of Egypt is about to be smitten by the death angel. So again, God institutes this Passover, and he says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on it that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. What remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. So eat all you want, but everything that's left is you're going to have to cook it in fire first off. You're going to have to roast it. Very specific. You're going to have to cook it in fire. Don't boil it like you normally do. Roast it over a fire. And when you've eaten all that you and that household can eat, take all the bones, everything else, and burn it completely so that nothing remains. Now, the thing you have to always understand when you read the Old Testament, every single sacrifice you will ever see is always pointing to Jesus. Every time. Every single time. And especially this. Later on, we see it's instituted as the Passover, which is the very first of seven feast days of the Lord. So again, he says, these are my feast. And again, when we see this, again, when we see roasted in fire, recognize that somewhere in Scripture, Jesus is going to fulfill this. Otherwise, he would have had it done some other way. He says, no, it has to be roasted in fire so that none of it that remains. Why? Because sin is going to be, so when the lamb was sacrificed, what you're saying, this is a sacrifice, an offering for sin. So sin can't remain. It has to be dealt with entirely, not just mostly, entirely, completely, so that none of sin remains. We see this when you look over in the back of the book. Again, we looked at this on the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the seventh feast day of the Lord. This is going to happen after the rapture, after the tribulation. Christ is going to come back down, Day of Atonement. Amen. There we're going to have the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus is going to take his seat in the temple. You're going to have the millennial reign for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, you're going to have the great white throne judgment. After that judgment, the Scripture says the heavens and the earth will be melt with fervent heat. God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth that has never known sin of any kind. Amen. So again, in fire, it has to be because sin has tainted this world. Sin tainted your spirit man. What happened to your spirit man? He has to die completely. God didn't come and clean up your spirit, man. No, he says there's sin attached to it. It has to die. It has to die completely. Amen. And it's going to have to go through fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a reason that it's called the lake of fire. Thank you, Lord. So, roasted in fires. So again, don't eat it. Let none of it remains. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. So again, this foreshadows the Lamb of God, the Scripture calls him in John 1:29, that he would face the fire of judgment, and he's going to face it in full. All right. So again, the Passover lamb is completely consumed. Jesus bears the full judgment of sin itself. Again, justice is required. If a man's spirit was corrupted by sin, then the penalty for sin had to be paid in the realm of the spirit. So again, he dealt with flesh in the realm of flesh, but now he's got to deal with the spirit man. All right. So again, Jesus' body does not just die physically. So when you go back and you look at that study, we did that last year, it was around noontime on the cross. It was about noontime, so Jesus is on the cross, but about noontime, you'll see in the Scripture that at that moment, he was made to be sin. Sin, all of the sin of the world enters into his body. At 3 o'clock on the cross, he says what? It is finished. And there his body physically dies, but he's not going to paradise. He's going to hell. He says 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth. All right? There's a price. All right. That's where he has to go. Jesus enters the realm of the dead. We see in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 26. Jesus gives us a picture of this. He says, there was a certain rich man. So when you see this word, certain rich man, this isn't just something he's coming up with. He says, no, this is referring back to a certain rich man. All right, and it may have been a story that maybe perhaps the audience was familiar with, but he's signaling out there is a particular man here. A certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. you know, the rich man could have did something, you know, to help this man, you know. Instead, he lets the dogs go and harass him. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried. And he went to the place of the dead, there in torment. He saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity." Where was your pity? All right, but he's calling out Father Abraham. So when he says the word Father Abraham, we recognize this man is a Jew. You know, a foreigner would not have said Father Abraham. This man is a Jew. He says, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in some water and cool my tongue." He says, "I'm in torment." Now he says, "I am in anguish in these flames. I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son." So again, when he says the word son, again, he's talking about this man is a Jew. "Son, remember during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. But now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us, for no one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." So again, I can't go there. You can't come here. That's just not going to happen. You know, and then he goes on to say, the rich man says, "Well, you know, send him back from the dead to go tell my brothers about this, you know, because they're headed down the same path I am, and I don't want them to be here." And he said, "No, they have the law and the prophets. I can't do it." You know, amen. So again, but looking here, Jesus describes hell as the place of torment, separation from God, and judgment. Again, why does hell exist? It exists because sin must be contained. Sin must be eternally contained. So again, in the new heavens and the new earth, if you still got spiritual outlaws on the loose, well, this is just kind of keep repeating itself. Sin's going to corrupt everything. We've got to burn it all down and start over again. So no, hell is a place for now. In eternity, there's a place called the lake of fire. And again, all the devil and all those who follow him, that sin must be contained in a spiritual prison, so to speak. That's what it is. Again, we can't have this getting out and corrupting and corrupting and corrupting for all of eternity. We're going to put an end to it, all right? Hell exists because sin must be contained. If sin enters the new creation, it will be corrupt again. So Jesus had to go there to bear the curse that we deserve. God is described in Scripture as the righteous judge. He would be unjust to not judge sin fully in Christ. He had to judge it fully. Jesus had to go to this place of the dead, anguish in flames, as we see him describe it. Amen. So again, Jesus bore the curse in our place. The Scripture says in Galatians 3:13, he was made a curse for us. He was made a curse. We see that curse is listed in full in Deuteronomy 28:15-16. We're not going to read that all this morning. You can look there for further study to see what you've been redeemed from. It's a really good thing. I don't encourage you to just read the curse every day, but it's good every once in a while to see, you know, I'm redeemed from all this mess, which means I am free from it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the curse itself gives us a glimpse into the atmosphere of hell. In that curse where sickness, disease, torment, oppression, darkness, blindness, madness, every degree of physical and mental pain and anguish, these came upon him. He would have also experienced fear like anything else we have ever imagined. He also found under that curse no ease and no rest. This is without end. You know, you don't get to take a break in hell. There's not, I'm going to go to sleep for a while and wake up refreshed and maybe I can take this. No, it is eternal. It is without end. There's no ease. There's no rest. We'll see this in a minute. Hell is really best described as a complete absence from the presence of God. God, his life, his nature is love and his perfect peace. Hell is the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite of that. Thank you, Jesus. He took it all for us. Again, when you go through the Psalms, there's a number of these that are known as the Messianic Psalms. This is one of them, Psalm 22. We're going to highlight verses 12 through 13. It says, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. He sank to the lowest depths of Hades. Every demon, every principality, every power came against him. Hell celebrates. Now you think about this. This is the one. Satan had figured this out. This is the one who was prophesied. I killed him. And you know, he is making a whole parade of this. He spent those 3 days, every devil, every demon, every principality, every power, there was nowhere else to be. This was the main event they had been waiting 4,000 years for. They got him. They're all there. Every single one of them is absolutely present. I believe on the earth, it was a pretty quiet and restful place during those 3 days and nights. There was nowhere else they had to be. It was there. You know, they're all there. They're all bearing witness. Every demon, every power, but oh, they all got to watch their defeat at that time too. Jesus rises to the highest place. The word tells us in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Matthew chapter 12, 39 through 40 says, but he replies to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks and demands a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For even as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But Jesus, here and again, he prophesies his descent and his return. Again, another messianic psalm, Psalm 16 at verse 10 says, for you will not abandon my soul in Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. That word Sheol is translated as underworld, hell, or pit. The word is derived from the word Hades, or the world, or the realm of the dead. Amen. So the realm of the dead, people there, they're alive spiritually. Your spirit, man, is eternal. It's an eternal spirit. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, but this body is dead, all right? So at present, their bodies may be in the grave, but their spirit, man, just steps right on over into hell, or we're stepping over into heaven. And there we're going to spend eternity. Amen. But the moment, let's look here, the moment the resurrection power hit hell. So right in the depths of hell itself, Sheol, Hades, the Spirit of God entered that place with resurrection power. Jesus stood up alive in resurrection power, because you remember just a few days before, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So if you can imagine, if you can just imagine the regions of hell, and then God the Father comes down and speaks, all of a sudden the light of God, the glory of God just, you know, I can see it just if you can imagine light just busting hell wide open. Jesus rises up victorious and triumph. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. Glory to God. Speaking of, we spoke of it earlier, Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel made The Passion. I saw in an interview that they are working on, and hopefully it won't be out too long, but they're actually going to make a movie on this part. So they're going to make a movie on what happened, again, after he dies on the cross to really show this. And I'm excited to see that. I thought they did a really good job the first time around, but amen. Resurrection power. So again, hell shakes, is split wide open. The devil and all the demons realize way too late what has happened. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:8, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. God set a trap and they just walked right into it. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17, 18, Jesus says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, though I was dead. Did Jesus really die? He said he was dead. Yes, he did. Look, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, again, Sheol, hell. I have the keys of Hades and death. I have the keys to it. I have the keys to it spiritually. So what he's saying here, I have the keys to your spiritual life and your natural life. I have the keys to both. Uh-huh. Glory to God. Again, Jesus said it, no man's going to take my life from me. I'll lay it down when I get good and ready, y'all. Amen. And at the right time, in the right manner, he does exactly that. You and I, that's a word for you and I. The devil's not going to come and just take my life from me whenever he decides, you know, hey, you're done. I'm punching your ticket. You're out of here. No, it don't work that way. The scripture says in Psalm 91:16, with long life, he'll satisfy me, show me his salvation. Well, how long is long life? You get to determine that. When you're good and ready, you can go home. Lord, have I run my race? Have I finished my course? Have I accomplished what I'm here to accomplish? Then I'm ready. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I've run my race. I've finished my course. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Now I'll lay this down and now I'm ready to go. Amen. Glory to God. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Resurrection power. I love this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So again, hell is bust wide open. The light and the glory of God shows up. Jesus rises up and he says here, he parades. They were making a parade of him. Now he is making a parade in front of all of them. I'll take those keys back. I'm going to take that authority back. I'm going to take that power back. And you're under my feet. You are under my feet. The scripture says that he reigns. The name of Jesus reigns in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. He, by conquest, had to go and take that place. We taught a series at the beginning of last year, a 12-part series on the name of Jesus. The first part of that series, we look at how Jesus obtained his name. One of them was through conquest. Amen. Oh, he whooped the devil. He whooped him and he made a public show of it. Amen. And so I am here today even continually to enforce, and I paraded over the devil as well. Ha, 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 ha. Who do you think you are? I know your story. I know your story, and I'm here to enforce your defeat. Glory to God. Jesus rises to the highest place in Ephesians 1. 19 through 21 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now hear this, toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Say the same power. The same resurrection power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? This wasn't just for Jesus. He did it all for you and I. Amen. And he's not withholding that power. He is saying, no, you're sharing in it. You're sharing in the life. You're sharing in my name. You're sharing in my authority. The greatness of his power toward us who believe according, so even as or the same as the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But he didn't stop there. He seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the ages coming. That's who's in you today. That same resurrection life, that same resurrection power that rose Jesus out of the grave, seated him at the right hand of the Father, is alive in you and I today if you're in Christ. Amen. You didn't just get some watered down measure of Christ. No, you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. You are complete in Christ. The fullness, the scripture says the fullness of the Godhead continues to live in bodily form in us. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we've been raised together and seated together with him. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. I just want to quickly share this reference with us. it's good to put our eyes on this. I didn't write it in our notes. That's why we're going to turn to it here. Colossians chapter 3 says, if then you were raised, say, I was raised. Not going to be, again, this is not a someday gospel. Someday you can get saved. Someday, maybe if you're good enough, you can get healed. No, I was raised in the same resurrection life and the same resurrection power. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. In Christ is your eternal position. In Christ is your eternal position. In Christ, you are at the right hand of God. In Christ. Eternally, you are there now, and there you will remain as a position, as a legal standing. Yes, you occupy here in this earth, but in the Spirit, you can be there and here at the same time. Ha-ha. The Scripture says, again, set your mind. So again, there is a command. I have a job to do here. I can't just go through this life, you know, and live day by day, getting and working and doing and going and thinking, well, this life just goes on forever and this is all there is, and I just got to pull myself up by my bootstraps. So I've got to figure this out. No, set your mind, he says, on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Not that we don't, you know, regard taking a bath, you know what I'm saying? We still have to do these natural things, but this, understand, this is not your life. It's his life. He says in verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm with Christ, and I'm in God. That's where I'm focusing. That's where I live from. When I encounter situations in this earth, I don't look to my natural self to try to meet my own need. I look to who I am in Christ. I look to my position in Christ, and I do business from that place. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I live from that position. So I've been raised and seated together with him. Again, there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. My purpose is to live from that place, thereby fulfilling kingdom purpose in my life. Here's the part that many believers have really never come to see. Number one, he did not ascend alone. We all see Jesus ascends from the Mount of Olives approximately 10 days before the day of Pentecost, 40 days after his resurrection. And oh, well, there goes Jesus in one day. All right. No, he didn't ascend alone. He didn't rise alone. He didn't sit down at the right hand of the Father alone. He carries us with him. Again, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When he raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. When he ascended to the right hand, I ascended to the right hand. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Glory to God. Every part of him, I just follow. Every time you see Christ in the New Testament, you can just put your name there. You just interchange it. That's me. This is the Bible telling me my story. He's letting me know this is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do now that I'm in Christ. Here's my past. Here's my present. Here's my future. He's showing you this. The word says that Jesus found himself in the Scripture when he was growing up. You and I, we need to find ourselves in Scripture. Amen. And grow up spiritually. Again, there's roughly 180 references in the New Testament in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in him, in whom. Every time you see those, stop and pause, highlight it, underline it, turn it around, and make this a confession. This is me. This is God telling me this is who I am. This is your instruction manual for daily living. Amen. And now, again, always keep it in mind, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ, and I rule and reign in Christ from this position, Romans 5:17. Thank you, Jesus. So again, Jesus destroys death for us. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'll turn in my notes. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14, 15 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He himself likewise shared the same. He partook of the same flesh and blood as you and I, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroys the power of death. Death is not to have power and dominion over you. That's not you anymore. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So again, your old man has already died with and in Christ. Your spirit man has already been reborn in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. Death has lost its sting. 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 57. So when this corruptible, he's talking about this mortal body, has put on incorruption, he's talking about your glorified body, at his coming, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? I love this. I love this. He's just getting a little cocky right now. Death, where's your sting? O hell, Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for me. He did it for me. Here's the truth. If you're in Christ, you have already done all the dying you're ever going to do. You're already dead. The script we just read in a moment ago, Colossians 3:3 says, you died. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. If you're in Christ, you've done all the dying you're going to do. Amen. When this body falls, should you go by way of the grave? Amen. As soon as this body expires, you just step right over into glory. Amen. It's just like I was here, body falls, you just took another step and you just walk right over and you're there in the presence of God. I've seen so many stories of people who have gone to the other side and come back. And it's always the same thing. Even throughout history, it's the same thing all over again. They didn't even realize it for them. All of a sudden, they just felt there was this light, there was this joy, there was this peace. Amen. It's excitement. But it took them a moment to even realize what had happened. Right? And they were never too happy about having to come back. Most of the time when people have died, even though, you know, we have people who have prayed them back. Oftentimes they're not so happy that they got prayed back. Why didn't you leave me where I was? I was there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the firstborn of a new family. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, see, he foreknew you, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness. Amen. So he's talking about your spirit, man. Not, you know, physically, we don't all look like Jesus looks, but on the inside, we're exactly the same. It says that he might become the firstborn among many brothers. Firstborn among many brethren. Amen. So the same resurrection life that's in Christ is in you and I today. The scripture says in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, your flesh, not your spirit, your flesh, he's made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He's forgiven all trespasses, all sin, all iniquity, all your wrongdoing. He's forgiven it. He's forgiven it. Ephesians 2:4-7, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which with he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. Say, I've been made alive together. With Christ, by grace, you have been saved and raised us up. Again, this is not a someday gospel. I'm not hoping one day maybe I can make it. No, he says, you have been raised. together and made us sit together. He's made it so. He loves us so much. He says, I'm not waiting on this deal. You're there right now. I have made this so. Sit together in heavenly places in your eternal position, he says, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come. So after this heavens, after this earth, ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We are now seated as a joint heir in joint authority with Christ. Amen. Glory to God. What his resurrection life means for us, Ephesians 1, 22 through 23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Say, that's me. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So because of the resurrection, for you and I, spiritual death is broken. Sickness and disease has been defeated under that curse. Poverty and lack are destroyed. They were under the curse. Shame and condemnation have no legal right. The curse is broken. The blessing is restored. Our authority, our dominion has been restored as the sons of God. The scripture says in Romans 5:17 that we reign in this life. Yes, we know we're going to reign for all of eternity, but he says, no, you reign in this life. And how do you do it? He says, by one Jesus Christ. I acknowledge every good and perfect thing that's in me in Christ, and now I'm here to exercise my authority and my dominion in this earth. Satan, you're under my feet, and I'm enforcing that today. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16? When you come across the devil, what do? In my name, cast him out. Cast him out. I'm here to take back that ground for the kingdom, and I'm going to occupy it till Jesus comes. I'm not giving it up. Satan, you're out of here. Jesus is in. Amen. This is mine. Thank you, Jesus. Our identification with Christ, Galatians 2:20 says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. Now, my natural birth date is in 1979. In the spirit, my birth date is approximately AD 33. My birthday in the spirit is approximately AD 33 when Jesus dies on the cross as the Christ. Every part of the spirit me is Christ. The old Rodney, the old sinful Rodney dies co-crucified on that cross. So Jesus, as the second Adam, the Bible calls him, he's representative of every man who will ever put faith in him. So he says, you are crucified with me on this same cross in the realm of the spirit. Amen. So again, we're talking about spirit now. In the spirit, you're on the cross. You die the death of the cross. In the spirit, you go to hell with him 3 days and nights. In the spirit, I'm rose with him right there in hell on the third day. And I'm ascended to the Father. And as Christ is sitting at the right hand, I'm right there with him. Every part of my life, I identify with that place in Christ. I see it all the way through from start to finish, of which there is no end. Amen. Glory to God. So again, Paul is writing here, my old identity, my old sinful self has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And that now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one, translated Christ, lives his life through me. We live in union as one. We live in union as one. My life is not my own. Jesus came to this earth, and every day, every moment, every action, every word was in perfect submission to the Father. Not my will, thy will be done is how he lived his life. Jesus said it more than once. I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. And Jesus got perfect results. That's a model for you and I. And we can do it in Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in self? No. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have the same ability to say yes to the Father as Jesus did, and I have every right to expect to get results just like Jesus did. He didn't come to this earth clothed in power. He says, no, I laid all that aside. I'm here as Son of Man. I'm here as Son of Man. And Jesus went on to say, the works that you see me do, it's not me. It's the Father dwelling in me. He's doing his works. When I speak the word that he told me to say, he's doing it through his word. It's not me and my power just healing people. It didn't work that way. Amen. But when he said, when he heard from the Father, tell that person to go dip, and they went and dipped, they got healed. When he went and spit in the mud and made clay, and he heard from the Father. When he told him, he didn't lay hands on the lepers. He just said, hey, go show yourself to the priest. As they went on their way in obedience to that word, they were healed. Amen. How did he know every time what to do and for that to get results? He heard from the Father. He heard from the Father. He heard from the Father. That's you and I today. Amen. It works the same way. So my new life is empowered by faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. He old sinful self dies, Christ moves in. That's exactly what happened. So if Christ now lives in me, then I have a duty, I have a responsibility to say, Christ, what do you want to do today? what's your plan for my life? What's your plan for this day? What do you want me to do about this situation? Don't just run off half-cocked and just coming up with your idea. You know, seek the wisdom of God. How do you want me to handle this situation? It'll work out beautifully if you do. Amen. The scripture says in Proverbs 16:3, there's many plans in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. You can spend your lifetime seeking and planning and doing your thing and totally miss God. But if you'll seek him, he'll make it plain and clear. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him. He will. Say he will. Make straight and plain your paths. He's able to get the answers and direction to you, amen, if you'll just seek him first, acknowledge him first in every way. It'll work out beautifully. It'll work out perfectly for your life, amen. So again, we've been co-crucified, co-buried, co-raised, and co-seated. His resurrection is now my identity. Thank you, Lord. So again, Jesus didn't rise just so again that we could admire this empty tomb. Oh, look, Jesus isn't there. Oh, look, Jesus is ascended. Isn't that wonderful? No, he rose so that we can occupy, enforce, and advance his victory. Jesus gives us an instruction here in Luke 19:13. He says, occupy until I come. Not just sit by passively and admire. No, I'm here to participate. As a son of God, I have the joy and the privilege of participating in that victory, not just admiring it. Again, we're not hiding from darkness. I'm looking for the darkness. I'm here to kick it out, to push it back. Get behind me, Satan. This is kingdom territory from here on. Amen. This is what brought us to Ogallala. That's what we're doing here. And Lord willing, we're going to go to all these surrounding areas and do the exact same thing. We're here to do kingdom business. Amen. We are to confront sickness, oppression, fear, lack, and demonic activity, not just look, oh my, that's so bad, that's so awesome, that's so terrible. You know, I wish somebody could do something about that. You know, that town over there, they're just going to hell. Well, do something about it. That's why you're here. That's why he placed you here. That's why you were born for such a time as this. That's why you weren't born, you know, 20 years earlier. That's why you weren't born in Cuba. You were born here. Amen. He has an assignment for them too. But amen. But there's an assignment for you and I today. Glory to God. We are to enforce the final verdict, declaring that the devil is defeated and that Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, the word tells us in Philippians 2, verse 9, that the name of Jesus, the Father has invested in that name, the name above all names. In heaven, in earth, under the earth, in this age, in all the ages to come. And then Jesus turns around and says, I've given you my name. I've given you. Jesus gives us power of attorney to use his name. He gives us power of attorney to use his name. He says, in my name, go cast out the devil. In my name, go lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. He says, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, I'll do it. Amen. So again, I'm to take that name and do kingdom business. But wherever I use the name Jesus, resurrection life, resurrection power is personally present to take care of that business. Amen. Whatever that is. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is clothed in glory. Jesus is endued with the name above all names. He's endued with resurrection life, resurrection power. And the scripture says, as he presently is, so am I in this world. Again, not someday in this world, surrounded by darkness, I am here as he is. The scripture says we are also his ambassadors. I am an ambassador of Christ. Uh-huh. In closing, from the cross to the throne, the cross was the price. The grave was the passage. Hell was the battleground, but all the while, the throne was the destination. Again, Jesus was already there. He came and did all of this so that he could bring you and I back with him. Amen. The throne was the destination for all of us. And because he went from the cross to the throne, so did we. Let's all stand today. Amen. And we're going to just declare this. We are redeemed, righteous, resurrected, authorized, empowered, seated, victorious, sons and daughters of God. This is our Resurrection Sunday. This is our identity. This is our assignment. This is our victory. Praise be to God. Well, today, as we close here, we want to receive communion. Amen. Seal it in the blood of Jesus. I know there's communion in the seat backs in front of you. Praise God. So take your time. Get you a communion element, and we'll just take a moment for that. Those of you watching, go pause. Go get you some juice, crackers, whatever you have. Receive communion right here, right along with us. Amen. There's no time or distance in the Spirit. Again, you can receive communion anytime, anywhere. You don't have to wait to come to church. You can do this every day in your own prayer closet. As the Lord says, as often as you do it, just do it in remembrance of me. Yeah. Amen. Which means you can receive it anytime. Thank you, Lord. So I want to just read a couple of scriptures here for us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 26 says, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what am I'm acknowledging that Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, I'm receiving this today because I'm acknowledging you have risen for me. Amen. Glory to God. He says in Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he's borne our griefs sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being force was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. You're not just cleansed. You are healed and made whole. That's what belongs to you now in Christ. When Jesus took stripes on his back, when he shed blood on his back, it was for this purpose. By my stripes, you're healed. Again, we looked at that on Wednesday night, the seven places that Jesus shed his blood. That was for your healing. That was for your cleansing and deliverance, amen, from all sickness and disease. Amen. If sickness and disease even comes near you, it dies. It has no right to live, and I give the devil no place. It may be cold and flu season for the rest of the world, but in my house, it's healing. In this house, it's healing. In your house, divine healing is present. Resurrection power is present wherever you go. Acknowledge the greater ones. Let's just take a moment. Amen. We're going to receive the body in a moment, but as we do, just take a moment. If there's anything going on, if there's sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, this could be in the realm of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Something that has just been harassing you, fear, oppression, depression, whatever it is, judge it. You judge it right now. This is from the devil. This is not Jesus bore this curse for me. I don't have to put up with it. I don't have to receive it. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I was healed. Satan, it's written. Satan, it's written. Get behind me. Get under my feet right now. Amen. So whatever that thing is, judge it. And by faith, as we receive his body, receive your healing. Receive your deliverance. As an act of faith, just receive, this is my healing today. This is his body broken for me, and it's my healing. It's my deliverance. Amen. Receive the body. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blood. We thank you because blood was shed. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We thank you, Lord. Yes, all right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, it's everlasting. One time, it's everlasting. To make you complete through every good work to do his will. The blood of the covenant. We are remembering this blood that was shed for all of my sin, past, present, future. Because of the blood, I enter into the Holy of Holies. Because of the blood, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord. So today, as we receive the blood, see yourself sitting at Christ's right hand, made eternally righteous. Amen. And any part of you, any thought that has tried to come up, well, you old dirty thing, you old this, you old that. No, that's in the past. That's under the blood. That's not who I am. This is who I am. Amen. Receive the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the sacrifice. And Lord, we honor you. We honor you. Every time you take your stand on the word of God, on your covenant, when you take your stand on your identity in Christ, you bring honor and glory to the Father. Every time. Every time. Every time. Make much of the blood. Make much of the body, make much of the sacrifice, make much of who you are now in Christ Jesus. This is what brings honor and glory to God in his sons and in his daughters. So, Father, as we go from this place, Lord, we just thank you right now that you are in us. You are with us now and always. But Lord, we receive the eyes of our understanding continually being enlightened, that we see and know every hope to which we have been called in Christ Jesus. We ask you, Father God, that through this week, through the course of this month, that you are unfolding kingdom purpose to each one of us. We receive right now that the thoughts, the plans, the purposes, you said they are without repentance. God, you never change your mind. But Lord, we're asking you right now for, by faith, that we'll see it, we'll know it, and as you reveal it to us by faith, we're willing to be willing. We're willing right now to say, yes, Lord, if you'll show me what that is, I'll go do it. And by faith, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, here on Wednesday night, we're going to meet back 6:30. Again, next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Until then, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.